Medieval History, 7th grade, May 11th through May 15th, Friday, May 15th. History Unit, High Middle Ages, Lesson 5, St. Catherine of Siena, Caterina. Lesson 5, Socratic Guiding Question. What does it take to reform corruption in the church? Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Objective: explain how Catherine reformed the church during her life. Introduction. Catherine of Siena was an international political figure, a feminine hero, and a doctor of the church. Catherine was not a nun, however, but a member of the Dominican Third Order. Thus, she followed the life pattern of the Dominicans. Think of her as an old-fashioned Italian matriarch, pious but sharp-tongued, who scandalized as many people as she influenced. Picture this short, frail lady garbed in worn, rough clothes and some of her typical daily activities, but she's also very young, which included managing a large household of followers, all of whom called her mama, living in poverty and begging with her disciples for everything they needed, fasting severely, but always seeing that her friends were well fed, cooking food, baking bread, and sometimes praying for miraculous multiplication or delivery of food, praying for many hours at a time, at times seeming to become weightless when deep in prayer. People claim to have seen her floating a few inches off the ground, reading the thoughts and knowing the temptations of her associates, even at long distances. She saw people's secret sins and confronted these people, urging them to repent. She touched hearts so effectively that the friars, preachers, had to designate 3 priests to handle the confessions of her penitents, interceding fiercely for hardened criminals in Siena's jails, caring for the sick, finally offering advice to popes and princes. However, she was not so much an international politician as she was a spiritual director. And her venue was not the entire world, but a small quadrant in northern Italy. The issue that concerned her most was not governmental, but ecclesiastical. Catherine brings the Pope back to Rome. The dates of her life, by the way, are 1347 to 1380. In 1376... Catherine worked to repair a breach between Pope Gregory XI and a league of northern Italian cities led by Florence. Since 1305, the papacy had been a cause of contention between the French and the Italians. Turmoil in Rome and conflict with the emperor had forced the popes to retreat to Avignon, a city in southern France. For decades, the pope had been living in France and not in Rome. Catherine shared the popular Italian desire to restore the papacy to Rome. Pope Gregory XI was willing to make the move, but his powerful French advisors resisted. Catherine conducted a campaign of letters to all sides and offered to mediate directly. She wrote Pope Gregory XI 6 times, exhorting him to return to Rome. The Pope said that Catherine addressed him with an intolerably dictatorial tone, a little sweetened with expressions of her perfect Christian deference. Encouraged by the Florentines, she went to Avignon on a peacemaking mission. Apparently, the Pope who had made a secret vow to move back to Rome, and this vow was revealed to Catherine. When she met the Pope in Avignon, she didn't hesitate to use that inspired bit of information to pressure him. "Keep the promise you have made," she urged, to his great surprise. Not long after this encounter, Gregory XI returned the papacy to Rome. Catherine's efforts to reconcile the Pope and the Italian cities finally succeeded during the reign of Urban VI, Gregory's successor. Number one, why might it be important to Catherine that the Pope return to Rome? Catherine heals the sick and injured. When the Black Plague struck Siena, Catherine and her friends courageously tended the sick. The disease eventually struck Matteo, the rector of the city's hospital, and a close friend of Catherine. When she got the news, she hurried off to see him. She was hot with anger at the plague, and even before she reached his bed, she began shouting from a distance, "Get up, Matteo, get up! This is not time for lying in a soft bed." At this command, Matteo's fever, swelling, and pain disappeared. Catherine slipped away to avoid attracting attention. Just then, Raymond, unaware of the miracle, approached and begged her to pray for Matteo's recovery. "What?" exclaimed Catherine, pretending to be offended. "Do you think I am God that I can deliver someone from death?" "Don't give me that," said Raymond. "I know that Jesus does whatever you ask him to." Catherine smiled mischievously. "Cheer up," she said. "He won't die this time." A short time later, Raymond shared a hearty celebration meal with Matteo, who a few hours before could barely open his mouth. One day in Catherine's neighborhood, a balcony collapsed, hurling a woman to the ground. The victim lived near Catherine, and they were friends. Falling debris had so badly cut and bruised the woman that she could not move. Catherine visited her injured friend and tried to comfort her. In a soothing gesture, she touched the woman, and the pain immediately left that spot. The woman begged Catherine to touch another place that hurt. There, too, the pain vanished. So they kept it up, the woman requesting that Catherine touch injured places until all the pain was gone. The woman had recovered completely. "Catherine," she told everyone, "has cured me by touching me." Catherine miraculously produces gallons of wine. Once, on a visit to Pisa, Catherine found herself in a seriously weakened condition. Raymond of Capua and other friends sought a remedy to strengthen her. They searched for some Fernacchia, a wine with healing properties. Fernacchia was supposed to bring relief when applied to a sick person's temples and wrists. Catherine's friends asked a neighbor who always stocked Fernacchia to give them a decanter. "I would gladly give you the barrel if I had it," he said, "but it has been empty for 3 months." For emphasis, he pulled the spigot from the barrel and then stared in amazement as wine gushed forth. So Catherine's friends miraculously obtained medicine for her. To Catherine's great embarrassment, news of the miracle spread throughout Pisa. She was back on her feet in a few days, and people greeted her excitedly. "Well, what do you know?" someone teased. "You don't drink wine, but you can fill an empty cask with it." The hubbub displeased Catherine. "Oh, Lord," she prayed with near irreverent familiarity, "why have you willed to inflict me with the pain of this mockery? Who asked you for the wine, anyway? For a long time I've deprived my body of wine, but now wine is making a joke of me. By your infinite mercy, have pity on me. Do something and put an end to this chatter." The wine turned as sour as vinegar and was no longer drinkable. The owner of the miracle barrel and those who came to sample the wine stopped talking about it. Catherine was delighted. Catherine of Siena is an important figure, even if considered only an ambassador who straightened out affairs of church and state. She can be admired more and more as one becomes better acquainted with her. She was a sweet curmudgeon. The Beatitude says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." That text sums up Catherine's life perfectly, and she brings our study of the Middle Ages to a fitting conclusion, for she is truly one of the most beautiful blooms of the medieval age. Describe how Catherine reformed the church in at least 3 sentences. This concludes the material for Friday, May 15th.